Well, in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says this. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, again, this is by hearing, not from having heard. And the biggest deception that's in the church today among believers is because they already know John 3:16.
Right.
That they know it and they're living it.
Right.
But faith comes from hearing.
Right.
Which means you have to keep yourself hearing because, you know, the Lord's talking.
Right.
He's always talking. I mean, if I told my children one time to take out the trash, I probably told them five or six times.
Yeah.
Now, it is my will for them to take the trash out.
Right.
But they have knowledge, but they don't act on it. So they have to hear again.
Right.
Yeah. Did you take the trash out? Oh, yeah, I was going to do that. Were you? Well, I'm glad I don't know have evidence of that, because at this point, there's still garbage in the trash. Right. But faith comes from hearing. Why do I say that? Because faith is the currency of the kingdom. Because
right.
Again, how many of you got paid this past week? I mean, this month. Anybody at all? Okay, I don't know. So, you know, some people are bi-week, bi-monthly, or, you know, twice a month, whatever. You worked and you received a paycheck, but yet you will spend it and you'll need to get more.
Amen.
Now, your employer doesn't just keep paying you without you showing up. Yet we expect God. I said we expect God that if we know one thing about him, that it's supposed to pay out without us ever doing anything else. No, faith comes by hearing. So we have to be doers, or we seek God. We invest in him through studying the word, by seeking him, by conversing with him, by prayer and all these things. And it causes faith to manifest in our life. And why do we call it the currency of the kingdom? Well, it is, because what it does is it makes an exchange from the unseen into the seen. Because faith is that thing that can turn things into anything, right? Just like finance. If you have a $100 bill can be a lot of stuff. Whatever's valued at 100, or you can get it down to that value, you can make that exchange. So again, I can say this $100 bill is a picture frame, right? I don't see a picture frame. Watch. You go to the store, you buy picture frames with it, you walk out. Guess what? That was picture frames. I mean, have you ever said that? Have you ever called your money something? Well, what, you know, honey, can I get that $50? My wife made $50 tonight. She sold a clock. And we went and, you know, gave it to whomever. And so she got in, she went to hand it to me. And then she thought, no, I'll keep it. And I'm like, no, I'll take it. And then she stared at me like, but I'm the one who made the sale. And I'm thinking, but I'm the one who bought the house. So I gave it back to her. And and then I said, I could take 20 and you could have 30. She kept it all, so there you go. That's kind of how that worked. But with that being said, you know, the clock, obviously, by faith, we went to see somebody, and it turned into finance. You understand? Many times we'll call, so I can say, what's that $50? Well, this $50 is, and we call it, even though it's $50. It's 220s and a 10. So you can say, no, it's not. It's 220s and a 10. Yes, it is. This is my, you know, makeup money. Okay, it's 220s and a 10. No, it's my makeup money. No, it's 220s and a 10. Because I'm calling those things that are as they are.
Yeah.
But she's calling those things that be not as though they were.
Yeah.
And then she'll act on it. How she act on it? She'll actually take her faith to a place and exchange it.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Hallelujah. Then that 50's done. And she runs out of makeup and she says, Lord, I know you want me to have makeup. I'm just using an example, right? But without the $50, you're not going to have it. Right? So you got to get that currency again. You have to find that which will exchange for that which you're needing. Well, faith is the currency of the kingdom. So faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing from the word of God. Tonight, I want to talk to you, and I'm going to just give you seven things tonight that will fuel your faith. Because here's the thing, faith comes by hearing. That means that, what that means is there's accessibility.
Yeah.
So here's what I mean by that. Pastor Marcy put out a clock on SwipSwap. For a particular price, she negotiated the price, $50, right? So the lady said, I'll buy it for $50. Will you meet me here? Now, at this point, in the natural, I have the clock. By faith, I believe the word of a woman that I've never met.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. I believe the word of someone I've never met, but they wrote something that I read. And I believed this person that I've never met, but based upon words written, I loaded it up. I drove to a location. I spent my gas and time to meet someone I've never seen. With this thought that I will take it out of my vehicle, give it to this person I've never met, and they'll give me $50. Now, the minute the individual says, I'll buy it for $50, faith was made available. I had access now. But that is not acting on faith. Faith was made available, meaning you can have $50 if you'll meet me at Flagler Beach and bring it, and I'll give you the exchange. So there was a doing on my part. If I had never gone there at 5:45, oh, if I had never shown up, which we were there at 5:42, and she was at 5:49, she was late. Now, I could have said, forget this, man. I guess her word isn't truth. I mean, I don't know her character. Oh, man. I mean, I could, but you know what? Through faith and patience, I inherited $50 is what happened. Or my wife did. I'm just, you know, I'm for muscle. In case, you know, this lady was jacked and wanted to try to take my wife's clock. And I'd be like, don't think about it. Right? I'd be like, woman, you don't want none of this right here. Because I'm not going to hit you because somebody's probably going to film this and it'd be pastor from an Anchor Faith church hit a woman at Flagler Beach, right? But I might call some fire down from somewhere. I mean, I might curse your tires right now and they may go flat. I got some she-bears running. Okay. My point is faith was accessible because of a word. But that faith not acted on would have never gotten me the $50. So I want to talk to you about things that fuel your faith, because when you hear God's word, we know faith comes by hearing. And the word of Jesus is a word that's final because he is the king. Amen. And his word's forever settled in heaven. And it doesn't matter what circumstance looks like. Doesn't matter what the environment's going on around that. If the king says it's a way, then it's going to become that way. All you have to do is act on it. You hear what I'm saying? So that woman said, this is it. If you'll meet me here at this time, I will have. I acted on her word, and she made it come to pass. Now, she's a human, and she could have lied, and she could have pulled out, and she could have done something. But my God is not a man that he should lie. And if he's written it, and he said he'll do it at a specific time, then let me tell you this, he will do it every time without fail. The only way it fails is I don't show up. Amen. I don't do. I've had access, but I'm a no-show. Right. And there's many that come to church hearing, but become no-shows. Right. Because the Lord start talking to you. Okay? But God has some things along the way to help fuel your faith. Meaning, once you have access, then there's some other things that will manifest that will actually help fuel it so that you'll see it come to pass. And we're going to see this in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, we're going to start in verse 5, and I'm going to go through and hit some people, all right? We were in this chapter on Sunday with By Faith Rahab. You will need to go online and hear what happened there. But verse 5, it says, because again, just to go to verse 1 just for you. Now, faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith, when it shows up, it's going to say something that is not visibly seen. If you can see it, then it's not faith. Okay, so it's going to say something that's visually not seen. Now, I don't mean like specific a thing, you know, I'm believing God for a cup's not there, so I'm waiting for the cup to manifest or doing what's necessary to get a cup. I'm talking about joy of the Lord is your strength. And he tells me, well, go ahead and begin to pray in the spirit and you'll not be sad anymore. Right. Well, if I'm sad, it'd be present. And I'll have to act on that and begin to pray in the spirit. and stir myself up by the Spirit so that I get out of the feeling of sadness and I'll get over into the joy of the Lord. Amen. But I'll have to act on it by faith. Meaning, I got a word from the king, now I'm acting on it, praying in the Spirit, and as I stay praying, I start to pray and I still feel sad. I pray 5 minutes, I'm still sad. I go 10 minutes, I'm still not feeling great, but maybe 15, 20 could be an hour, depending on how depressed you are. You understand? But you stay with the word, all of a sudden, something will start bubbling up on the inside. All of a sudden, a smile will start cracking. All of a sudden, you'll start laughing and have a joy that you can't contain. Because you've acted on the word and you made the exchange. All right? Many times we want God to do it in the context that we just sit around to do nothing. But nowhere in Scripture does that happen. Nowhere. Now I know what people think. Wait a minute now. Salvation is free. Jesus did it all. Jesus did all of his part. You say, well, what part did you do? I accepted it by faith. If I would have not believed with my heart that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross and confessed with my mouth him, Lord, I never would have received the salvation already paid. I never would have gotten it. And how many people today do you know that Jesus has paid the price? He's forgiven them of their sin. The blood's already done. He's done everything for them, but he's waiting on them to get in faith and do their part, to call on his name with all their heart and say, I'm not right. This ain't the right way. I'm not going. I can't do this. I need you, Jesus. That action causes what he's already done to manifest. Until then, you'll not be a new creature in Christ Jesus. So my point is, there's God is always doing something, and there's our part as well. He has it. We do our part, and then he brings the rest of it in. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right, so when we say by faith, again, that doesn't mean that God did something while Enoch was hanging out doing nothing. None of these people were sitting around doing nothing. All right, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. Whew, this is amazing. All right, and Enoch is a family name. I didn't realize that. You know, I just thought my dad, who was named Enoch, my grandma named him after the Bible, but it wasn't the case. It was through every generation till he had a son. Then he had a son. He hated his name. And so he didn't want to name me after him. So I just got his initials. Well, my wife wasn't impressed with the name either. And, you know, we didn't think about it. So we just let it go. But I didn't know it was a family name. I'd probably been more impressed and put it somewhere, maybe a fourth name somewhere, you know. At least my daughter-in-law, she's able to get four names and slide us in somewhere, all right? But I still hadn't had any of my kids pick up Enoch yet. I don't know why. They're rebellious, but we're working with them. I'm just kidding. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, verse 6 then, we know this one. We quote it a lot. It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. Right? So again, God loves you, but God can be displeased with the ones he loves. All right? So without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The first thing that we learn of, a thing that fuel your faith, because again, he by faith, one thing that fueled Enoch to always believe and not waver was that he believed God is. I'm telling you, if you don't know that God is. I mean, if he is no more to you than a stat card. Right? LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Stephen Curry, right? Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow. I'm just throwing out some names here, you know, sports people, right? You can get a card off there and get their stats. Right? Tom Brady, you know? I got to give a shout out to my little Patriot guys. They were in mourning Sunday. But you understand, there's stats. And you could say, man, Tom Brady did this at this Super Bowl, and he has this many passing yards, and he holds the record for this, but not know the individual. And you know what? You're not going to be believing that Tom Brady is going to pay off your debt. Although he could. Right? So the first thing to fuel your faith is you've got to know this. God is. God is. He is who he is. He's the great I am. He's the creator of heaven and earth. Man, that'll fuel your faith. When you begin to believe, now God said that. Wait a minute. God said that. You understand? You just get that in your spirit. There's where that firm persuasion will start showing up. Because faith is not an idea, you know, something we casually think about, a stat we throw out, you know, well, oh yeah, I know that scripture. That don't mean anything if it's not a part of you and you're firmly persuaded and you'll step out on that thing. You're confident and believe it. Well, the reason I can step out is because God is. He is. And that's what fueled Enoch, is that he believed that he is. God is who God says he is. The second thing Enoch did, which is the second thing that'll fuel your faith, is that he's a rewarder. And if you don't believe that, you will negotiate your faith and you'll begin to make an excuse of why God didn't do it for you. And usually it follows this tag. He was trying to teach me something. Well, why didn't he teach you how to get it? I mean, what kind of teaching is that? I'm going to give you some food, son. Oh, you ain't getting it. But I'm starving, Dad. I understand you're starving. I'm really hungry. I know I'm trying to teach you something. Well, what are you trying to teach me? Okay. Right? I'm trying to teach you how to have good manners. Well, why don't you teach me how to have good manners and don't put food in front of me just to pull it out? Why don't you instruct me on manners and then I'll come and sit at the table? See, God doesn't do this like, you know, warped, demented type stuff that people put on. Why? And the only reason that is because number one or number two that would fuel their faith, but they don't actually believe he is a rewarder of the word he said. They truly don't believe that he will do what he says he'll do and that his word won't return unto him void. Now, again, I hear the chatter all the time. I feel like I hear it right now in my spirit. Yeah, but I mean, I know God says, and it didn't happen here. Listen, what you're doing is you are giving man, like he is more righteous and without failure of doing it right than God. Well, there's no way my grandma didn't believe. Well, one time your grandma was lost and going to hell. And grandma need to get her mind right. And grandma's a human being. And she messes up. And she could have messed up here. But God never messes up. God's statement to people that question his ability to be a rewarder is, if you can. Isn't that what the guy said? Now, Lord, if you can do anything. What was he questioning? Whether he could give the reward of casting that spirit out of his son. Could you produce it? Your disciples couldn't. Well, why couldn't his disciples? Now, Jesus says some don't come out but through prayer and fasting. So there was a connection they didn't have in general, okay? But it wasn't because they couldn't have. But they couldn't because they failed to do it, not God. Because God showed, I can. He said, all things are possible to him who believed. And at least the guy had enough wisdom to say, I do believe, help my unbelief. Because I believe you can, but I'm obviously not understanding that you're a rewarder of everything you say. Man, help me out. At least he did that. At least he acknowledged that I'm the failing part here. I find it interesting that we will go preach the good news to the world and say, you're failing, you're not making it, you can't do it on your own, you can't do it on your own wisdom, you can't do it any works that cause God to accept you, not of any works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing you can do to earn this, there's nothing we can do, but you must believe that Jesus died and rose from the grave. Then that person does that, then all of a sudden we negotiate with God as if we figured God out just by asking him to come into our heart and save us. I mean, I met people today for the first time. They don't know me. Oh, I've been to Pastor Earl's church. Yeah, I know. You don't know me. You don't know me until you spend time with me. You've not been with me through fires. You've not been with me through trials and tribulations. You've not been with me and seen me walk through things, talk through things, believe through things, overcome things. You've not been in any of that. Amen. Amen. And yet you're going to get born again. All of a sudden, you know everything there is to know about God. And when he doesn't do what he says, then all of a sudden he really can't and he's trying to do something else.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's good. Wow. No, we got to believe that he is. And that he's a rewarder.
Yes, he is.
Right.
Now, he's not just a rewarder. There is a condition, but you have to know he's a rewarder. That will fuel your faith. But how do you get to that being the rewarder part? You have to diligently seek him.
Right.
I said you have to diligently seek him. Yeah. Diligently seek him. See, he's a rewarder to those who what? Diligently seek him. Not casually ask in a 15-second prayer, and then when it doesn't happen, you just assume it's something else.
Right.
All right. Amen. We're going to be really real with the word of God, because God is not a man that he should lie. We are the ones who have to renew our minds. We are trying to raise ourselves up in our thinking. Spiritually, we're raised. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And if we could get revelation of who we are in Christ, then we would believe easier. And we would never doubt God's word. And we would never question it no matter what we see, because we saw Jesus didn't do it. But that requires you to get your mind together. All right? Get your mind renewed to the word of God. And you will not do that without being a studier of the word. So let's go on then. Verse 7 says, by faith, Noah. So Noah did things by faith.
Right?
Not his natural ability. By faith. All right? Being divinely warned of things not yet seen. Moved with what? Godly fear. That's the third thing that fuel your faith, is that you're going to have some godly fear.
Yes. Right.
And you know what? I've noticed the fear of the Lord is something very thin within the church bodies today. What do I mean by that? That means this reverential fear. It's not like, oh my gosh, God's going to strike me down anytime. Oh, if I blow it, he's going to beat me down. That is not our God. The fear of the Lord is, I am your child. And how in the world would I ever do anything or want to do something that would be not a great representative of who you are?
Right.
What I know about you, I want to always be consistent in doing exactly what I know.
Right.
Now, there's things that you may do and you'll be like, I didn't know, God. But once God corrects you and reveals it to you, then you got to be, man, I'm done doing that. I didn't know, God, but now that I know, I will not run to that. I will not act that way. I will not do that.
Yeah.
You hear what I'm saying? So Noah, the reason he builds an ark is because God said an event was going to take place that there's no evidence it will.
Right.
But he believed him at his word so much that it moved him to what? Godly fear. You know, sometimes God has speak to us about things that we by faith need to say, well, okay, I'm just acting. Every time I travel, I really work on being sensitive to whether I should be on a plane or not. Now, some people will say, well, my gosh, man, what if you get it wrong? You can die. How about that? How about that? But you understand, you can get it right a lot. Let me say it this way. If you don't ask God, you'll always get it wrong. Because when it's wrong, you won't know. But if you'll ask God each time, then at least you have the opportunity to get it right. Hallelujah. And I'm asking the Lord, Lord, where we're going, what we're doing, can we do this? Is this the plane? I remember one time Todd and I were going to India, and we were praying. I said, now, Lord, I don't want to be on any plane that doesn't need to be there. You need to talk, because I'll cancel ticket. I won't do it. Lord, I am not. You are not sending me somewhere to die. You understand? Not in a plane. Be different if somebody's trying to tell me to deny Jesus and I become a martyr that way. That's a whole different ball game than just getting on a bad bird.
Right.
You hear what I'm saying? So I'm praying. I said, and a plane came. I said, now, Lord, again, because every plane I get to, I'll put my hand on it. I'll plead the blood over that thing. And that's not religious to me. That's faith. By faith, I put the blood on that thing. By faith, I pray over every passenger, just like Paul did in the 27th chapter of Acts, and begin to ask for all of their lives. Because they're traveling with me, and I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God, and I'm a representative of God, and I'm an ambassador for Christ, and I'm asking for their lives. You hear what I'm saying? So, there's one particular plane that came up. Next thing you know, it left. Come to find out, there was a problem. And I was like, thank you, Lord. I mean, here's it. They started loading people. Now, I hadn't gotten on. But next thing you know, they started coming off. 2 hours later, we were on a different plane. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Those are not coincidences to me because I'm deliberately asking God. Why? Godly fear. I move with a godly fear that I don't want to move in a direction. I don't want something to happen that you're telling me not to go, not to do. Because if you give me a warning about something, I want to heed it. And God gave Noah a warning. This is what he's telling Noah, though. I'm delivering you, but you're going to have to get an ark to get out of here. Now, again, just kill, you know, the doctrine of, you know, all control. The Lord does what he says. What do I mean by that? The Lord didn't say, look, man, I'm God. I'm going to levitate you and your family up here. We're going to take care of that, and I'm going to put you back down on the mountain. I mean, we treat God like he's some mystic, you know, being or something, you know. We fantasize almost in witchcraft. But the Lord's like, start building. You know what he did? He built for 120 years. And everybody was coming around saying, you're an idiot. I'm telling you, by faith, you'll have a lot of people come by and say, you're an idiot. But when they're drowning because they would not hear and heed with a godly fear, because it isn't like God wasn't talking to others. Amen. So godly fear will fuel your faith. Man, how could I abandon what he told me to do? How could I walk away from that? That's what gets me the most about people that I know they hear God and they're believing, but then they abandon it. Now, what's another thing if you get a ram caught in a thicket? That means God changes plans. And that can't happen. But when you look at this in Scripture, that is a very few times. I mean, the Bible is very clear. God changes not. That is more consistent with his behavior than God telling you to do something and in turn saying, just kidding, I'm doing it this way instead. Most of the time, that is not the case. There are some isolated events with Abraham where that took place. God said, sacrifice your son, and he was going to do it. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. But the Lord did not let him go through with it, right? But he was convinced. And this, we know he was convinced, if you read it over in Hebrews, that I can kill this boy and God must be able to raise him from the dead. Because I really can't lose him because he's the covenant child. God can't go back on his word because he said, this is the kid. So even if I kill him and sacrifice him to God, God's going to have to raise him up. That's what Hebrews says. But God said, don't go through with it. Now, could God have raised Isaac? Man, he's been raising the dead for quite some time. Right? Well, the Lord's like, I'll give my son. You don't have to give yours. You know what? You don't have to sacrifice any of your kids for God. Jesus is the one sacrificed. All right? So well, there we go on. It says this, by faith, Noah, again, divinely warned, moved with godly fear, prepared the ark for the saving of his household by which he condemned the world and became heirs of righteousness, which is according to faith. Verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed, which we know obedience. Well, I'm not keying on this a whole lot with Abraham because we know if you're in faith, you're obeying. Right? These are things we know. And so it says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place that he would receive an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Again, well, how is he by faith? God said, get up and go to the place I'll show you. Where are you going? Straight. Straight. All right. Now what? Left. Okay. Amen. That's walking by faith. Verse 9, by faith he dwelled in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, with the heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Just a side note, because I'm not going to focus on anything from him that fuels your faith, but what I find very interesting about that particular statement is that we get a conversation that God's had with Abraham, but it's not recorded in Genesis. Now, why do I want to bring that out? God is talking to more people about things that you just don't know about and will later be revealed. The reason why this guy's walking around and is not impressed with any community he gets to is because God has talked to him about the New Jerusalem. Long before John ever penned on a piece of paper about the New Jerusalem, God had already told him the plan. Because he's looking for this city. And there's only one city that God's building. You read it in Revelation. It's the New Jerusalem. And it had come down out of heaven to the earth. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. So Abraham knew about the city, yet couldn't write about it, meaning Moses could not talk about that conversation that God obviously had with Abraham concerning that dispensation of time. Wow. Hallelujah. Which tells us his wandering was no problem because he's looking for a city. I said he's looking for a city, which means he was expecting it could come down. But it didn't come down in his lifetime. In fact, all of these were expecting things they heard from God to be able to manifest in their lifetime.
That's right.
Even though many of those things went beyond their lifetime. All right? Verse 11, by faith, the only other woman mentioned, other woman mentioned in the faith chapter besides Rahab the harlot, by faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore the child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful to who had promised. So the fourth thing here that fuels our faith is judged him faithful. See, when you judge God faithful, it fuels your faith. She was able to look back on the faithfulness of God. We just sang about this.
Right.
We just sang about this. See, when I'm in new faith adventures, I go back to old faith victories.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Purchasing them all. I couldn't purchase the first house I was in. You know, by all rights, shouldn't have purchased the first house I was in. But by faith, my wife said, honey, I believe this is our house. And I didn't disagree, so I got an agreement by faith. If any two people touch and agree, it shall be. You know what? She wants a home. We've never had a home. This is the one she wants. I want to please her. I have no problem with that. She'll put her touch on it, and by faith we'll do it. And I'm going to tell you right now, we leased it to buy. We have first right of refusal. And I'm going to tell you right now, the owner on more than one occasion tried to act like they were going to sell it out from underneath us. But they didn't. Then I started to apply for, you know, a loan. Well, I had just moved here. I don't even have much time in grade with a job. Yet, God had me call an individual, you know, out of the blue. I'm talking to this person. We're going to work it. And all of a sudden, my wife would go to the mail, and she starts getting letters. Denied, denied, denied. Well, what's that start doing to you? You're not getting it. And what? And then the owner saying, I got somebody wanting to pay cash right now. I got somebody wanting to pay cash. Y'all going to do something. Y'all going to do something. I mean, this is pressure. But I heard God. She heard God. So I went out one Saturday morning to cut a tree down. My wife said, what are you doing? I said, this tree can't stay here. It's rotten inside. We're cutting it out. Then she said, but this isn't our yard. I said, it is by faith. And this is my faith statement. Now, it wasn't that she wasn't in faith. She was just speaking naturally. Because it's going to be obvious when the owner comes by and see it gone. By faith. Well, guess what? We bought the house.
Amen.
Lived there 13 years. Remodeled it 3 times. Hallelujah. And sold it for more than we bought it for.
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. Well, if God will do it for that address, he'll do it for this address. All I got to do is look back on the faithfulness and say, well, Lord, I know what I had there. It's about the same thing we have here. Right? Now, you think I'm saying nothing. I'm saying I had faith there. I got faith here. But I have different faith here that I had there because my faith has grown from there to here.
Hallelujah.
See, I don't have $200, $250 electric bill faith. I don't have that. You may have that because that may be that's your bill. Now, we have thousands of dollar electric bill faith. That's what we have.
Yeah.
Amen? Thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
That typically you don't even think about, right? You don't think about that. Are you concerned about whether the electric's on here? But you expect it. Okay, I'm just saying, you expect it. And you want me to be a faithful steward and pay the electric bill. Sometimes just turn it off, just have a Mission Sunday for fun, right? Okay. My point is, judge him faithful. God's healed my body here, so it doesn't matter if a different symptom comes on. So what's it do? It fuels my faith. Well, if God did that and his word was true, then it'd be here. Do you understand? I'm not going to hit a wall. All things are possible with him who believes. I'm not going to hit a wall. I'm going to go from faith to faith, from glory to glory. I want to go as far as God allows me to expand in belief. I don't want to sit here in planet Earth while I'm here and leave all of God's ability wasted because I wouldn't dare believe what I couldn't see. We as the church aren't going to do that. Now, if you don't like that kind of church attendance, you're at the wrong place. That's true. Anchor Faith is not where you should be because we're always advancing. I said, we're going to the next thing. We're going to believe God. Well, aren't you satisfied? I'm not satisfied till Jesus comes home. I'm not satisfied till everybody's born again. I'm not satisfied until we can touch people's lives. And my gosh, I'm not satisfied because the Lord's not satisfied. I just want to do my part. I want you to do your part too. So judging him faithful will cause your faith to be fueled. Well, then we get into, you know, verse 12 and 13 and 14. You know, 13 said, all these died in faith, not having to receive the having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Let me tell you this. There are some things that God can begin to speak to us that we can believe him for that we're believing for another generation. Should he tarry? All right? But you got to dare to believe. Verse 15. Verse 16, but let's go on. Let me get over to the next one. I want to get into verse 21. Verse 21, it says, by faith. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons, Joseph, and what?
Worship.
You know, worship will fuel your faith. Yes. I mean, this man's dying. He knows he's gone, but he gives a blessing to the sons of Joseph, and he worships. It fueled his faith that what I've spoken over these boys are going to come to pass, even though he won't live to see it. You know, when we get in situations and things are attacking us, man, we need to just stop and worship the King of Glory. Man, sometimes we just got to sing a song, sing a new song, sing a song, you know. I don't know. You just got to get before the Lord and begin to sing and worship him and honor him and glorify him. It will fuel your faith. I'm telling you these things because there are situations you'll get in that God, through hearing his word, will say something to you. And in the natural, it is not seen. It doesn't seem like it could come to pass. And there will be attacks against it for the purpose of getting you to abandon it. But if you'll say, no, I believe that he is. I know that he's a rewarder. I am moved with godly fear not to stay in faith. I judge him faithful because he has done this to me, or done this for me in the past in a similar circumstance according to his word, and I am worshiping him because he is God. It will fuel your faith. It'll fuel your faith. Because let me say it this way. Faith alone, faith by itself, okay, and be clear with my statement. Faith by itself won't work. Now, what do I mean by that? Faith without a corresponding action of doing is dead. James said we must be doers of the word and not hearers only, which means there's plenty of people that are sitting in churches, watching it on TV, listening to it on the radio, reading it in magazines. I have so much access to God's kingdom wealth that has the ability to transfer healing, prosperity, patience, long-suffering, forgiveness. All those things can transfer into their life, but they're not acting on it, so they never get it. Faith by itself, without the work of faith, meaning doing it, acting on it, stepping out, even in the midst of the circumstance, firmly persuaded it's got to happen, is dead. These things will fuel you in those moments when you are, you have access to faith. You would say, I believe, but I hadn't seen the result. And instead of growing weary and waning, those things will keep fueling you till it comes to pass. All right? Two more and we'll be done tonight. By faith, in verse 23, I like this one. By faith, Moses, and really when we read this, it's not actually Moses, it's his parents, because it says, by faith, Moses, when he was a boy, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was. So this is the parents' faith, okay? So by faith, the parents of Moses saw that he was a beautiful child, meaning he was stately. In essence, what that means is they saw he had destiny. Destiny fueled their faith. Purpose caused them to believe. It'll fuel your faith. When you know your purpose, you'll dare to believe. When you don't, why are you believing in the first place? Amen? That's why you won't be tenacious, because you really don't know why you're here. But when you know why you're here, then you won't let a person or the principalities and powers take away your destiny. All right? So they saw it was beautiful, so it fueled. But then it goes on, it says, and they were what? Not afraid. So no fear fuels your faith. I said no fear fuels your faith. You have to get to that place when fear tries to come. You've got to cut it off and say, no, I'll stay in no fear. And I'm telling you, I can give you plenty of people, plenty of places where they can negotiate, speak to you, and get you scared and convince you it can't come to pass. And they'll have tons of natural evidence of why. But God. Amen. But God. I mean, when it gets to those moments, you say, but God. Oh, like your God, my mom. You know, y'all been praying for her about her blood pressure, right? She went back to the eye doctor, you know, the first time she went, and they were astounded at the fact that the eyes, because of the pressure of the blood pressure and the way it had messed with the optic nerve, you know, her vision, one, her left eye was like 20 over 700. I mean, what is legally blind? That's what I want to know. But 20 over 700. But when she went back, it was 20 over 70. Wow. Okay? That's pretty awesome. Okay? So, you know, he was like, wow, well, this is like reversing, which they said typically they don't even reverse. Your eyes will probably just stay like it is, and we'll do what we can to manage it. I have to give you shots. It may help reverse. Never did he give her the option that naturally it would change. That was nothing that they medically diagnosed. Well, my mom said this. Well, I knew the Lord would heal me. Amen. And the doctor said, psst. Yep. Yep. Sure did. Mom goes, I don't know why I was so upset. And went, psst. You know? I mean, if he doesn't believe it, that's his problem. Now, you're right, Mom. That's his problem. And then she says this, we need to pray for him. I said, you're right, Mom. We need to pray for him. I like that. She didn't say, I hate that guy. I don't ever want to see him again. Don't talk to me like, she didn't get bitter. Didn't get offended. She had compassion. She had compassion. Amen. And as a result, she knew what? God is the healer. You know, if anything's going to change, God's going to be a part of the process. Amen. I mean, she believed that. But yet he went, pff. I'm telling you, plenty of people tell you, pff. Amen. I hear that a lot while I preach. And I know you're not passing gas. I know spiritually, like, I'm like, read the Bible. Read the Bible. I mean, we're going to debate about whether God heals somebody when we have tons of evidence in Scripture? Seriously? I find it so interesting. We let the world tout their claim of getting people cured of cancer through their techniques and stuff, when many have died with the same techniques. But yet the church will come in and somebody say, I believe God healed me of my cancer. Well, you know, Sister So-and-so had cancer and she died and believed God too, brother. Seriously? What is wrong? But we'll go and say, well, I'm going to the best doctor and this right here is where, you know how many people have been cured because of this technique? Have you checked how many died? You don't want to know how many died because you want to live. Yet we'll come in here and say, by his stripes you were healed. I'll give you evidence of tons that were healed. So why don't we believe there? You're believing the ones that were treated like you were treated and they came through. Why don't we believe God in his word? He restored marriages. He walked in forgiveness. Come on, are you with me? He didn't get offended. I can give you many people that happened. So let's just believe God instead of believing people's failures to believe. All right, we're ratcheting down. Verse 24, last one. So six things. Actually, I've already given you seven because he gave you the bonus track with Moses, you know, and his purpose. Things that fuel your faith. You must believe that he is. He is a rewarder. You're moved with godly fear. You judge him faithful. You worship and you're not afraid. And if you have purpose, you'll stand in faith. And the last one is this that we'll talk about tonight. Number 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people. Oh, let me go back to verse 24. By faith, Moses, now this is Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Now, if we were the type of Christians that took our Bibles, threw it open, put down our finger, and read Hebrews 5, 11:25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, we would begin to conclude that following God is full of affliction and that we can't have pleasure. That's what we would conclude. And then we would accept that kind of lifestyle. But that is not what's happening here. But what will fuel your faith is choosing to suffer affliction. But I need to define that. Okay? Because, just so you know, if Moses would have stayed the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he would have been in the palace. But he never would have became king. Not only would he never become king, he would only have had access to a certain amount of wealth. A portion would have been assigned to him. That's it. But because he chose to suffer affliction, meaning God wants everything Egypt has. And not only does he, if Moses would have accepted the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he'd have been in the palace, but he never would have been king. He would have had a portion of wealth, but his people would have stayed in bondage. But because he chose God's way, God says, I'll deliver them through you. Well, that's impossible, Lord. Nothing's impossible with me, son. All you got to do is believe. Look, I've worked with Pharaoh. All right? These people are ruthless. You understand what I'm saying? God, your people have been slaves for 400 years. I mean, there's no army coming up in here. And you expect me to go down there and rally these people? He tried that. You understand? It didn't work. You want me to go rally these people and we overtake this place? You hear what I'm saying? But God's saying, I want to give you everything. I'm giving them all back wages. So they're going to taunt you. Instead of you trying to please Pharaoh, he's going to taunt you. He's going to say it can't be. He's going to make it worse on the ones you're trying to deliver. And they're going to go against you. But just stay with me. I said, just stay with me. Yeah, yeah. Man, a lot of pastors get in denominations that they get strung up because the board can't go places. But they let the man of God go because the man of God A woman of God can endure even their own brethren and suffer that affliction to see God come to pass. And knowing this, when it comes to pass, I'm still okay with you. Because I suffered the affliction for you, even though you abandoned me. Man, I had people come to me when we started purchasing the mall. Pastor Earl, God's told me to help you get this mall. They gone. No hard feelings, no problem, but I suffer the affliction. Because it will come to pass. I said it will come to pass. I said it will come to pass. God will do what he said he'll do. I'll suffer the affliction. Why? Because God just don't want me to have a little piece of the pie. I met with the ownership when they said, we don't know what to do, but you know what we can do? We like you. We'll rent more. And the Lord says, I want you to take it all. Now, honestly, it's impossible in the natural, but with God. I said, but with God. I said, but with God. All things are possible. Amen. Why? Because I'm willing to suffer a little affliction because I'm not going to squander it for a little pleasure of disobedience. Because there's actually, see, we say enjoy the pleasures of sin. That's really saying the pleasures that are associated with disobeying God, but ultimately death manifests. No, make no mistake about, there is pleasure with God. There is pleasure with God. When your body is racked with pain and you get healed, that's pleasure. Man, when you got a broken marriage and God restores you and gives you the husband that you've always wanted and the wife you've always wanted, that is pleasure. When you had addictions all in your body and he redeemed you from your drug addiction and your alcoholism, that is pleasure. When he restores your kids, that's pleasure. When he gives you promotion, that's pleasure. When he blesses your life, that's pleasure. And I wouldn't exchange that for a wrong way of getting it. I'll just stay with God, suffer a little affliction, and make it come to pass. And it fuels my faith. Because I know, my gosh, the devil tempts everyone this way. You've got to get this one. He said, Jesus. Now, son, if you are the Son of God, okay, listen. You ruler, right? Okay. See all this domain right here? See all these kingdoms? Isn't that what the devil did? Took Jesus to a high pinnacle? Showed him all the kingdoms in a moment of time. Said, now all this domain right here is mine. It's been handed over to me. Now we know where he got it from, right? Adam gave it to him, right? But who gave Adam that? Okay. He said, I give all this to you if you'll just do one thing. Just one thing. You just bow down and worship me. And Jesus said, that's tempting. It's a temptation. He said, I'll endure some affliction. Because when I die, I'm taking it all from you. So many times we abandon our faith for things God wants us to have that and more. This is why the parable of the sower, when it talks about the seed sown into the thorns, it says the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of life choke out the word. People run after those things, and God says, did I not say that if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, I'll add everything to you they're running after? But you got to suffer affliction to get that. You got to be able to stay with the word. And then on the other side, when it all comes, do you think that the Israelites, when they're on the other side of the Red Sea and Pharaoh is drowning in the middle of the Red Sea, that they were afflicted? They were in pain at that moment. No, the Bible's very clear. They walked out healthy, healed, had no sickness in their body at all. Completely healthy. And they've been slaves, chained, shackled. They were all healed, healthy, and they were rejoicing. You know, I wonder how many would have gave up on their brethren if one of the Egyptians says, I'll unlock it, you come work in the palace for me, and I'll give you a little of this. And they would have abandoned their nation for a little pleasure. Yet many believers will abandon all that God wants to give you for just a little pleasure. But he's like, I'll give you that and more. I just need you to believe.